Last week we looked at James. I wish we could have gotten further in James. Well, there was good discussion last week, but I would have enjoyed taking this class tonight, which is going to be in Galatians, and just taking it back to James, because James is such a wonderful study. We're going to look at Galatians tonight and reasons that people fall away. But we know Christians, at least I think we do, we all know Christians that we don't believe for a minute that could ever possibly fall away. Do you know some people like that? Maybe you've got a list. Maybe it's not a list on paper, but you got a list in your head that when you hear about someone that has fallen away, you might say, no, that did not happen. That person did not fall away. I know that person personally. That person did not fall away, and yet it does. It happens more often than we want to admit. It's a sad thing. It always is. The truth is that Satan is looking for everyone, and just because a person is spiritually mature, is well grounded in Scripture, does that mean that Satan is not going to try to attack that particular person? And give me the obvious example that proves that that's the case. In the wilderness, somebody said, Jesus, I heard it. Thank you, Allison. With mask, I can't tell where the sound's coming from. You understand a lot of times. Yeah, got it. Jesus in the wilderness. Satan attacked our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is immunity from the attack. How did Jesus defend himself? With Scripture. There is no immunity from the fact that we're going to get the attack. And I think we all understand that. And that's where James, last week, comes into play, because what did we talk about in the first chapter of James? Not when, I say it backwards all the time. Not if, but when, that Satan is going to come visit us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Everybody in here knows it. You want to say it with me? Be sober-minded, be vigilant, watch out, because the devil is what? A roaring lion. And then what is he seeking to do? Seeking whom he might devour. Does that give us pause? Does it scare us? Does it worry us? Well, I hope it doesn't scare us, and I hope it doesn't worry us. I hope it causes us to look inside and make sure that we're in the right place. I hope it causes us to understand that we've got Scripture, we've got the Bible, we've got everything we need in order to defeat Satan. But I hope it causes a little bit of introspection, that we stop and think about, this is a serious thing that we have before us, and we need to be ready for it, because sooner or later it's going to happen. We're in Galatians tonight. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We've got several verses that we're going to read in Galatians as we talk about some of the reasons that people can fall away. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This is Paul speaking. The word hindered in the Greek means to cut close. The references to how it was used in the first century had to do with perhaps tearing a road up or putting an obstruction sharply in front of the traveler so that that road could not be taken. We don't use the word hinder a whole lot, but we talk about that concept all the time, do we not? How often do we talk about the roadblocks of life, things that keep jumping up in front of us and impact us on a day-to-day basis? What does hinder you from obeying? Well, what hinders us? What causes us to fall away is how we're going to be looking at this tonight. And so the question is then, what created the problem? What caused the problem? You know, we brought this up kind of as a segue into the class tonight. We brought this up last week. And I think it was Willie who brought up the fact that sometimes we just kind of stop doing what we're doing. Not really a reason for it. Nobody really attacked us deep inside. Someone didn't try to entice us to do something bad. We just kind of slowed down. But we didn't recognize that we slowed down. And this was Willie's point. We got to a certain point and we thought we were just doing the right thing. We didn't really recognize that we had slowed down. We didn't recognize that something was different in our lives. We didn't recognize that perhaps we weren't as faithful as we were before. We had an improper picture of our lives. And we almost got there in James chapter 1 last week, verse 24, when we talked about that person who looks in the mirror, who sees themselves and then looks away and forgets what it was that they saw. So not everything, not every reason that we can fall away or reason that we see Christians that do fall away has to do with something that's necessarily bad. A lot of it, some of it, has to do with things that just get in the way in our life. Tell me in the last, well, might as well say now in the last 2 years, has there been a lot of things that just got in the way of our life? Have there been a lot of roadblocks that popped up? You know, Dave Miller was here probably 6 months ago, a little bit longer. He talked to the elders of this congregation. He talked to the elders of several other congregations over a weekend kind of seminar kind of deal. Dave described COVID as an attack on the church, point blank, by Satan. It's been a difficult couple of years. Might we have fallen away? Might we have just kind of gotten out of the habit of a lot of things? Does it have an impact on us? And the answer is, certainly it does. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Is there ever any time in recent memory that we need to take that verse to heart and watch out for our brothers and sisters and then watch out for ourselves at the same time? When you get on an airplane, and I don't fly much anymore, I don't really want to get on the airplane with all your germs. You understand what we're saying? But if you do get on an airplane in today's time, do they still tell you what to do in case of some type of an emergency in the oxygen mask and all that kind of stuff, where you put it on yourself first and then you help the person next to you? Why is the reason for that? Who can you help unless you're in the right place yourself? Something just to remember as we look at this. Do we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters? Absolutely we do. Do we have a responsibility to ourselves? Absolutely we do. We looked at it, 1 Peter 5:8, the devil, roaring lion, looking about to seek whom he might devour. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. You are severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. How does it happen? Why does it happen? What do we do about it? Tonight we're looking at all of this in several different subheadings. To turn away from the truth. And this first heading kind of falls under the category of turning away from the truth, but an action taken by our own choice. Would you? Does anybody in here tonight think this is in your immediate future? Would you consider doing something that took you further away from God? I don't think any of us would immediately say that that was the case. But what about sometimes when just we're tired? We don't pick up our Bible and study. We don't open the Scriptures. We don't pray. We don't avail ourselves of the chance of being with other Christians. Sometimes these things happen, don't they? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, and let's read verses 6 through 12. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Why would someone do that? Have you ever encountered someone that did that? Are there others who don't exactly follow Scripture and who have some different outlooks on different things and would want to try to talk us into seeing things their way? What did these Christians have in their back pocket? What had they seen themselves with their own eyes? Jesus crucified. They knew it. They knew the story. If there was anyone that you would not think was capable, I'm sorry, not capable, but likely that they would be falling away, would it be, is that me or is that this one? Likely to be falling away, would it be these people? Would you consider them to be strong? They were there, they saw it. I would. But someone's going to preach to them something different and try to draw them away. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? Just a little bit of an aside. Take your pencil or your pen or whatever. Circle Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 and put the why test out next to it. W-H-Y. The why test. What is the ultimate question we need to ask about everything that is that we do? What did the Bereans do every single day in Acts? What? Studied the Scripture daily, seeking that which they were taught is true. That why test is extremely important. What is it we're doing? Are we doing it to please God, or are we doing it to please man? And when we're doing it to please man, is there a chance that we could be drawn away? Absolutely there is. Verse 11, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Tell me why man-made doctrines are attractive. Pardon? All right, they're easier. I want to go a little deeper on that in just a second. That's true. Easier. Robert? They're designed to please other men. What else? Willie says you can change it if you don't like it. They feed into the carnal side of us. We're going to get there later tonight. Absolutely. What do all these things, if I wanted to kind of break it down just one step beyond, and what everybody's talked about is exactly where I was hoping we would go. I want to use a word, though, that kind of describes what everybody has said. Pardon? Convenience? Is that what you said? They are. The word I want is accountability. What do each one of these reasons that we've all talked about lack? All of it lacks accountability. Who, according to Scripture, are we accountable to? God. What did God do? He sent His Son. What did His Son do? Died for you and me. What does that give us? What does John talk about, chapter 14, chapter 15? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We've got accountability as a Christian. Man-made religions, man-made doctrines lack that. Why is it easy to go to them? Because it's just easy, period. Don't have to do a lot. Look in John chapter 6. Jesus is in a part of his ministry in which he was working beyond doing the miracles and feeding the people and mending broken bones and all that kind of stuff and applying to physical needs and starting to get into some of the meatier subjects. And in John chapter 6, verse 60, there were those that heard him speak, and what is it they said? This is hard. These are hard teachings. What do we do? And I think it's verse 66. What does it say about what happened thereafter? Is it verse 66 that says, and after that there were many who left? Do I have the right one? Why did they walk away? Why did they leave? Because Jesus was requiring accountability. And they weren't mature enough. They didn't want to. They didn't see that it was necessary in order to actually do that. Who can save us? Why did Jesus die? Was there another person who did anything like that for us? Some may turn again to an old religion. Wait a minute. Got to use the clicker. I like technology, but I'm really not that good with PowerPoint in the auditorium. I'm not understanding why. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world? If you've got a New King James there, does it talk about beggarly? Yeah. I like that word. I'm reading tonight from an ESV. I like the word beggarly there. What is Paul talking about? What is it they were turning back to? Judaism. The old law, right? Here. Why would they? What did Judaism offer them that Christianity did not? Why would they go back to where they had been? Why would they go back to something that had them in bondage? Where Paul uses the term slavery and he uses the term weak and beggarly. Why would that be attractive to them? I think you can answer that question just by saying, why did they want to go back to Egypt? What happened when they left Egypt? How long did it take them to get upset? To start feeling sorry for themselves? To start feeling like nobody was there to help them? What did they not want to do during that period of time? They didn't want to take accountability. Why would they want to go back to it? Robert, did you have something? Or okay. That which is worthless. How... have we known Christians who've been converted out of the denominational world, have been a faithful member of a denomination and have seen or some era and have come to the church and then gone back to where they were? Why? In John chapter 6, yes, the point was that Jesus was saying he was trying to make himself equal to God. Was he? Yes, he was. And that was upsetting some of the people. Certainly it was. We go back to that which was easier, perhaps. What was it about Judaism that made it simple? What did you have to do? What did you... John... and yet we did it. They wanted to do it. You're right. but it was easier in some circumstances. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You know, those that wanted to return there saw something that was just easier. They saw something that required a sacrifice, and then they were kind of done. They saw something that they didn't perhaps have to live 24/7. And there was a little bit of pride, like it was mentioned, as to where they were coming from, being God's children. That ought to be enough. I'm God's child. Shouldn't that be enough? And if we think that way, where might we end up? And so this first section of Scriptures has to do with our own choices that we make regarding turning away. We're going to look at a couple more with the same heading, turn away from the truth, but we're going to look at these in kind of in terms of an action aided by or assisted by someone else. Before I get into this, though, I want to make a point. Who is responsible ultimately for us, for me, for you? The action that somebody else might take, does it contribute to my delinquency? Yeah. But who's ultimately responsible? Pardon? Jackie is. Jackie's responsible. Yes, she is. For Jackie, we know where we're going with that. It's a difficult thing, isn't it? You know, how many of us are influenced by others around us? I mean, we all are to some degree, are we not? And sometimes when we're in life, is it a lot easier just to go along than it is to rock the boat? Most of the time, yeah. But yet, when it comes to our soul, what do we need to do? Stand fast. We've looked at 5:7. We've talked about someone seeking to hinder us away from the truth. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly crucified. Turn also now to chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. What happens to us when we don't study? What happens to us when we're not mature? What happens to us when we kind of depend on someone else to do the preaching and the teaching and just depend on what we get maybe on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? Where does that leave us when it comes to attacks by Satan? We're in a bad spot if that's the case, isn't it? Are we more susceptible to someone who's going to come up to us and try to get us to go another direction? How many times have you heard an argument and the argument sounded really, really good and it made sense? It was common sense. You knew it. Yeah, it's got to be right because what he's saying is just so logical. Twice in Proverbs did Solomon say that there is a way that seems right unto man, but into the end it equals what? Death. How do we know? How do we know? Right? We know the same way the Bereans know when we look at the Scripture daily, seeing that what is being taught is the truth. To draw a physical parallel to this, why did Satan wait until Jesus had already fasted for a lengthy period of time before he came to him and tried to tempt him? He was going to be weak. Are there things in our life that cause us to be weak? Life hits us pretty hard sometimes, doesn't it? And if we don't supplement it by going into God's Word, by reading, by going to God in prayer, where does that leave us? in that weakened state. Has anyone in here actually fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, by the way? Could you make it? Oh, you've gone 40 hours? You've done better than me. I'm not sure I go 40 minutes, Allison, when it comes to that. Look in chapter 1, verse 7. I want to read three different verses here. Chapter 1, verse 7 first. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 10. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. And verse 12. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. It's kind of different in the ESV, isn't it? The way it puts it, using that particular word. Is it a good thing to try to get someone to pull away from God? It absolutely is not. Would these people have to answer for what it is that they're doing? And yes, they will. But we need to recognize that unless we're in the right place, they may be successful. And we need to recognize that there are those people who are going to do that for 100 different reasons. Maybe they think they're good reasons. Maybe they just want to see us come down. How does this world feel today about Christians in general? What have you read about some places in the United States regarding threats to Christianity? What have we seen take place over the last 2 years in some states regarding the ability of churches to meet? What have some states done regarding, okay, we'll let you come in small groups, but if you sing, you're going to be arrested? Dave Miller may have been right. It's an attack on Christianity, period. Plain and simple. We also can be consumed by another. Turn to chapter 5, verse 13. Let's look at verses 13 and 15. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 15. Whoops, wait a minute. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. There's that word devour again. In the Greek, this particular word is not the same as in 1 Peter 5:8, by the way. Both of them have the same concept, but just not the same word. This word means to bite or to sting. And it was used probably in reference to dogs and wild beasts. Are there those who would bite and devour us just for the opportunity of taking down a Christian? Just for the opportunity of seeing someone else fall? How do you lift yourself up, by the way, sometimes? Do you work hard? Do you pull yourself up? Or do you try to step on somebody else and push them down so that you appear to be taller? This probably has reference, by the way, to being attacked and devoured by our brothers and sisters. We think about it all the time in terms of in the world. But how bad is it when a brother or a sister treats you shamelessly, ruthlessly, tries to get you to do bad things, tries to accuse you of bad things, tries to just do whatever he can to break your faith, perhaps out of jealousy, perhaps out of who knows what reason. But it can happen. Galatians says it happened. Paul talks about it, says it can happen. What about being consumed by the flesh? I think probably when we think about falling away, this is the category that we come to first, foremost. How long do I have, Rick? 4, 5 minutes? Till the first bell or just 5? All right, 1 minute till the first bell, however many minutes till the second bell. Isn't this kind of what we think about first most of the time? Are there things out there that this world presents to us that will cause us to lose our faith? And absolutely that there are. Chapter 5, verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Double meaning. You get it when you're looking at this? Keeping you to do the things that you want to do. That works both ways. The Spirit's trying to keep you from doing some of those things that maybe you want to do, you shouldn't be doing. And evil is trying to get you to do some of those things that you know you shouldn't do, but maybe you want to do. How do we fight that? How hard is it in today's society? When was the last time you turned on television and didn't see something that attacked our Christianity? Tell me when it was. We cannot even watch a commercial without being attacked. Is it easy to get lost in this world? Is it easy to be consumed by the flesh? Once a person goes down this path, is it easy or is it hard to get them back? My experience is it's pretty difficult. I don't know about yours. Sometimes things happen. The world gets their tentacles in them. They fall away. And by the time they recognize what has happened, it's too late. It's a difficult situation. What are some of those things that attack us on a daily basis? Why does sin look so good? Why? What? That's how Satan designed it. Those things that are out there that give us a rush, that look good, that make us feel good for a short period of time, that have an ugly backside a little bit further down the road. Same, yeah. That's a good point. They had it made, but Satan said, I can do you one better. And did he? Well, was Satan truthful? Did they open their eyes? Yes, they did. And then what did it cost them? Quite a bit. Chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish having begun? Are you so foolish having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? What is the flesh going to do for us other than what it did for Adam and Eve? Lead us to abandon our love. Chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21. All right, let's go to chapter 6, verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. How sad is it when we see the Christian once active in the faith, now consumed by the world? Husbands lose wives. Wives lose husbands. Children lose parents. Parents lose children. How difficult is it to watch? Extremely. What is the prayer that we have for all those that have fallen away? Someday we want to see them in heaven, right? Unfortunately, on this particular planet, they may be interested in something else. We get to a point with a lot of those who have fallen away that all we can do is pray. And certainly, I said that wrong. All we can do is pray. I hope you know that's not exactly what I meant. The option, the best option is prayer. But there are times when we talk and we try to convince the person in a different way as to what it is that they've done and where that action is leading them. And they get to the point where they don't want to hear us, they don't want to listen to us. And so we have prayer left. Consumed in self. Me, 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 me. Do we have that problem in today's society, by the way? Answer this question, which came first, Facebook or the narcissist? I'm not really down on Facebook. I think it's a good thing. The church has a Facebook page. We use it to talk about different positive things. Look in chapter 6, verse 3. But for every good thing we get out of some of social media, we've got to watch out for probably two or three bad things. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It's difficult, isn't it, in the society that we live in, not to focus on self. How do we get beyond that? What do we do with it? Focus on someone else? Focus on our brothers and sisters? Did the bell... Am I out? Okay. I got 1 minute probably left. No, you're shaking your head. The bell did ring. Oh, how long ago did it ring? All right, I'm finishing this with James chapter 5, verse 19. Okay? James chapter 5, verse 19. My brothers, if anyone amongst you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Thank you.